Tonight I want to direct your attention to a passage of scripture that we began with this morning in the book of Proverbs chapter 31. So if you'll take your Bibles, turn with me please to Proverbs 31. Tonight we're going to look at just one verse of scripture. This morning we looked at the very end of this wonderful poem that exalts the virtuous woman. And we found their foundation and the basis for all that she is and all that she does. And tonight we're going to go to the very beginning of this poem and look at the very first verse. And so there's some things that we'll make comment about here as we work our way through it so that you understand something of the magnificence of this. Something that was a real blessing to me, something I found fascinating. And I'm eager to share it with you tonight. And so we'll look at here in just a few moments a verse of scripture that I trust will be a blessing to your heart, whether you're a man or a woman, mother or not, adult or not, a teenager, whatever you are in your stage of life. There's great truth here for us to enjoy. Proverbs chapter 31, verse 10 is where I want to direct your attention there. Proverbs 31, verse 10. The Bible says, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies." It's a great question for us to think about. Great truth here from God's word. I want to deliver a message to you tonight that I'm entitling "The Prized and Praiseworthy Woman." It's the second half, really, of this morning's message as we consider the kind of woman that God highly prizes and that God highly praises. And again, just because you're not a mother doesn't mean the text here does not apply to you. There's truth here applicable for all of us. And so let's look into what God has for us this evening. Let's bow and pray. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, thank you for the blessing of the truths that were sung tonight. Thank you for the encouragement that we can receive from your truth. Thank you for the reality of everything that you are and has declared to us to be in your scriptures. And tonight, as we look into your word, we thank you for the truth that's here. We need the Spirit of God to be our teacher, and may we enjoy tonight the time in your word. Bring our thinking in line with yours, our heart in tune with yours, and may we indeed be challenged. And we thank you that even as we are challenged, you give us every resource we need and the power wherewithal to change as we transfer our focus from ourselves and this society of ours to our Savior. So Lord, now bless your truth as it goes forth. Minister to the heart's needs of each who are here. And we thank you for what you'll do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Proverbs 31, 10 to 31 is a poem that King Lemuel is writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit as he relays the instructions his mother had given to him regarding the right kind of mother, the kind of woman, the wife that he would need. From verse 10 to verse 30 and 31, you'll find it in this section. It begins, and then it also ends with a statement of the incredible worth and the value of this woman's excellence. And then sandwiched in between, you're going to find 20 verses that demonstrate and describe for us the godlike qualities that mark her as one who has a wholesome relationship to the Lord. And that relationship with God is what makes her so treasured, so valuable, and such a rare jewel indeed. So there is a mindset as well as a manner of life that is expressed, that is distinctive, not because of anything that she is inherently, but because of what she is in relationship to her God, and as the expression of that is seen in life. Verses 10 to 31 is also going to be a masterpiece of construction. It's a magnificent masterpiece that's unparalleled, as one commentator put it. And its structure is going to form the final section of this instructive book of wisdom. Now, here's what I found fascinating. You'll permit me just to share this with you to help you understand something and appreciate maybe more the what we have, because it's not only the words of Scripture themselves that communicate truth, but as oftentimes is the case in both Old Testament and New Testament, even the structure of the God's Word or the passage of Scripture communicates truth. And here's an excellent illustration of that. Verses 10 to 31 of Proverbs 31 is what some people call an acrostic, A-C-R-O-S-T-I-C. Each verse, verses 10 to 31, begins with a successive letter of the Hebrew alphabet, So you'll find 22 verses in this section that correspond to the 22 consonants of the Hebrew alphabet. Now, before you say, well, big deal, so what? Let me try to put that in English terms so that you can relate to what makes this so significant. Let me suggest to you this challenge. In English, come up with a poem 26 lines long, and every single line in your poem has to start with a successive letter of the English alphabet. Your first letter, A. So whatever word you choose, it has to start with the letter A. Your second line has to start with a word that begins with the letter B. And then C, all the way down through Z. And by the time you get to X or Q, you might be thinking, what in the world am I going to say? And for us, that would be very challenging. But it's interesting here that as you think about that, not too many people would be able to not only compose something like that, but then to compose it so that it has a meaningful message. And not just a meaningful message for today, but literally people would come to your writing and be inspired by that for generations to come. That's amazing when you start to think about that. So remember, your finished poem here has to communicate an intelligible, substantive theme that would inspire. And that is exactly what we have here in Proverbs 31. And what we have in the structure of this poem, a wonderful, incredible display, not only of God's superior wisdom and intellect to accomplish that amazing feat, but he does so effortlessly. Now, we would probably have to spend a lot of time trying to come up with a poem with 26 lines going A through Z. And some of us couldn't do that. I'd probably be one of those that couldn't. But this is nothing that's a sweat to the Lord. So effortlessly does he instruct Lemuel to write. And as he writes, he uses this particular structure. And it's amazing here. So then what we have is not only an incredible poetic feat whose overall effect is to clearly and articulately describe this woman who exemplifies, but also who beautifies and is beautified by her virtues of biblical wisdom and godlike character. Now, when I'm thinking through this, I'm asking myself the question, well, then why would King Lemuel choose this format for recording his mom's instruction to him? Well, obviously the answer would be at first that the Lord guided him in doing so. But aside from that, why would he do that? Why not just in a very plain, straightforward way, just say, this is the virtuous woman. This is the kind of woman you want, and here's what she's like. Well, he does that, but he does it in a very unique way. And I would suggest to you that there are two reasons why he chooses this structure under the direction of the Holy Spirit. First is a practical reason, and that is this section from verses 10 to 31 actually functions as a means to assist the memory in recalling truths that are expressed here by this poem. Today, we would say this, it is a mnemonic device. You say, well, what in the world is a mnemonic device? Well, it's just a learning technique used to remember something. Let me give you an illustration of that, and I hope that this sticks. Because if it does, you'll be able to connect this and you'll never forget this. In fact, you might even want to write this in the margin of your Bible if it helps you. On the northern United States border with Canada, there are five Great Lakes. And here's a great way to remember the Great Lakes. The sentence I want you to remember is this: Superman helps everyone. Superman helps everyone. Now you take the first letter of each of those words, and it will help you remember the five lakes. From west to east, you've got Superior, you've got Michigan, you've got Huron, Erie, and Ontario. If you'll remember that sentence, it is a mnemonic device, a learning technique to help you recall information. Well, in verses 10 through 31, you have a learning technique that is being employed so that future generations would be able to recall to mind the truths that are expressed in this passage regarding this virtuous woman. Here's an example of what God's wisdom applied to the daily routines of life look like. And you'll read about them in these 22 verses. Not only is there a practical reason, but I think there's also a theological reason. And don't shut me off just because you hear the word theological. But there is a real message, I think, being communicated by this. It might sound a little cheesy maybe to some of you, but I think it's perhaps worthwhile to even consider. And I believe there's an implied message here in this structure of Proverbs 31 that's being communicated, and it's this. If you were to take the time to describe the value of this ideal worthy woman, it would exhaust human language. From A to Z, we would say in English. In Hebrew, it would go from Aleph, the first one, to Teth, the last one. And so here it is, 22 letters of the alphabet being used to communicate a truth that in reality, this virtuous woman is so prized and is to be so praised that if you were to do justice to that topic, it would exhaust the human language. So this is the kind of woman then that God himself highly values and prizes and praises. And he does so in no ordinary way. Because this woman is unique, there is a unique structure used to communicate this truth about her. Because she is rare, because she is so special, a special way of communicating it is being presented. And so what is said about her then stands in sharp contrast to what our society exalts and praises in a woman. And as I'm thinking through this, and as you look at the verse that is given to us in verse 10 with the question that's posed, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. I can't help but think that one of the areas that our society spotlights in a woman is that she has to be, and you'll hear this expression, she has to be a strong woman. And what you hear from that, and typically what is meant by that from our society, is that she has to be progressive in her thinking. She has to be smart, strong-willed, self-sufficient, self-reliant, independently minded, spirited, stubborn, in control and bossy, and sassy if need be, but successful. And that's the ideal woman that our society presents to us. And that's the ideal that is being presented in all kinds of media. And it's almost as if you don't get this message, you've missed out on life. If you really want to achieve life, this is where it's at. This is the kind of person you need to be. And so you do whatever you have to do to become this person. So in the fashion industry, there's a way of dressing. In the entertainment industry, there's a circle of influence that you need to get connected with. And so on and on throughout our society, there are means and messages being communicated that if we're not careful, we'll embrace that as truth, and we do so to our own demise, to our own ruin. Oftentimes, even in that same society, Christian women are looked down upon. They're thought of in terms of being weak-minded pushovers who don't know how to think for themselves. They're oftentimes treated as if they're carpets for people to walk all over. They're oftentimes thought of as those who prefer life as in the old caveman days, as they would express it. In other words, they're behind the times. They haven't caught up to modernity. They haven't got the idea that culture has time and has changed and it's time for them to change. These are the messages being received. But I want you to notice that in this text of Scripture, what God spotlights about this virtuous woman, she is a woman of strength. And so the question tonight that we want to ask, what does a woman of strength look like? And when I say that word look like, I'm not talking about her physical appearance. I'm not talking about her face or form. In God's eye, what is this woman of strength? One of the first things, as we look at verse 10, that God mentions that is at the very top of his list as he sets forth the qualities that call for the praise of this highly prized woman will be the strength of God-like character. The strength of God-like character. Look at verse 10. The question is, who can find, and here's our key word, virtuous woman. And then note the next statement, her price, and what's the next word? Is, present tense. And so right off the bat then, when we are introduced to this woman, here's a very blessed and heartwarming truth that's being presented to us. There is absolutely nothing known about her past. There is nothing here about what took place in days gone by. The point of the passage is her present character. And from that, I see two lessons I want us to see. First, our past can influence our future, but it does not determine it. Just because you have certain things happening to you does not mean you're somehow locked in to repeat those mistakes or to repeat that kind of life, or that you're somehow locked in and you can never be all that God would want you to be. We cannot blame our past as the reason for an inability to be what God wants us to be today or tomorrow. We cannot play the victim card and blame others for why we are the way we are today. You can't say it was because of so-and-so that I never had a chance, or that I could never become this or that. That's the way the world reasons, not the way God wants us to think. Neither one's past nor the decisions of others can prevent you from being the kind of worthy woman that this passage of Scripture presents. Now, here's something that's interesting. Some scholars that I have read have tried to identify this Lemuel with Solomon. Now, if that is correct in what they're saying, and if the source of King Lemuel's or Solomon's words then are his mother, which would have been Bathsheba, then here's a timeless truth that emerges. Past sin does not erase the potential for godly living in the present, nor from leaving behind a godly legacy for the future generations. That ought to encourage us. So whatever has happened to you, though it may influence you, does not restrict you from being what God would have you to be. There are some women who, because of their past poor choices that they still regret, still carry a load of guilt because of those choices. And so they've convinced themselves, God will never use me. God doesn't want me. He doesn't love me. And that somehow they've convinced themselves they forfeited the right to be a godly blessing to others. Now, if it is true that Bathsheba is the source of these truths taught to Solomon, if indeed this is the Lemuel here being referred to, then here's what you have. You have a woman who, by God's grace, was brought into the lineage of Christ and has verse 30 as her legacy. What is her legacy? Look at verse 30. Favor is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. If this is indeed a reference to Bathsheba, what an incredible display of God's grace. What an incredible act of mercy. So notice in verse 10, with the question, who can find a virtuous woman, there is something here being asked that indicates something of the incredible rarity and therefore the high value that this worthy woman possesses that distinguishes her from what is commonly seen and typical of so many. But though the question here is assuming that this kind of woman is rare, understand, please, that does not mean she's altogether lacking. And there is a difference. Just because something is rare does not mean it won't exist. It's interesting as you look at this, there is the very distinct reality that each one of us can have this kind of character that this woman has. And perhaps one reason why the scripture says here in verse 10, who can find a virtuous woman, with the implication that this is a rare type of person, is because the scarcity of the gift. In other words, this type of character is not something that's highly prized enough to make whatever investment is necessary to obtain it. I want to ask you a question tonight before we even look closer into this verse. Are you willing to make whatever investment you need to make to develop godlike character? Does it mean that much to you? Are you willing to set aside whatever you have to set aside and dismiss whatever you have to dismiss in order to obtain this kind of character that this woman has? If you don't prize this, you will not pursue it. Simple as that. And maybe one reason why the writer here has to ask the question, who can find this virtuous woman, is because there are not too many people who prize this kind of character. They're not willing to make the investment to pursue. And so therefore, they don't have this kind of character. So we're content just to live our own way and to do our own thing and live life the best way we can. Remember what the scripture will tell us in the book of Proverbs. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man. And very many people are content to live that way. In Proverbs chapter 3, the Bible says that we are to trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not unto our own understanding. And there are very many people today who are willing to do just that. They lean on their own understanding. They say it like this. I know God's word says this, but I think this is just as good. This is just as valid. There's nothing wrong with this. If I go down this path, it's not going to hurt me. It's not going to hurt anybody. What are you doing? You're leaning on your own understanding. That's not the mark of wisdom. The mark of wisdom is you forsake your own understanding in order to lean unto the Lord. In fact, the next verse says, in all thy ways acknowledge him. You give him the spotlight. You put him in the forefront of the burner, as it were, as you consider him and his will and his way. So are you willing to make whatever investment necessary? If not, you understand then the reason why there is the scarcity of this gift. But I would suggest a second reason as to why this is a very rare individual. And it may be due to the fact that it's too seldom sought for. In other words, it's easier for us to look for external beauty than internal beauty. We look for external qualities rather than internal virtues. We are content with what we see with the human eye rather than with what God sees. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, as the prophet Samuel was going to anoint the next king, Jesse had all his sons presented, and each one looked like to Samuel, oh, that must be the next king of Israel. I can tell by looking at him. And what did God say? I have refused him. And so Samuel finally says to Jesse, well, is this all your sons? And Jesse says, oh, no, I've got one more. He's out there with the sheep. Bring him here. And as David comes, God tells David, or Samuel rather, that's the man right there. And what does he say in 1 Samuel 16, 7? He says, God does not look the way that man looks. Man looks on the outside. God looks on the heart. That's what he sees. And that's what we need to see. So who can find a virtuous woman? Well, she's not very oftentimes found, and her character is not oftentimes possessed because it's not too seldom sought for. We don't look for it in others. And we don't encourage it for others. We're content to just live by what we see with the human eye. But notice in verse 10, as you look at this question again, there is a label here that is going to impress us with just how highly prized and praiseworthy this woman really is. It's the word virtuous. Now, when we think of the word virtuous, probably the first thing that pops into your mind is this: someone who's morally upright. And it's true, a person with virtue is morally upright. Don't misunderstand me. That is included, but that's not the chief idea behind this word that's translated virtuous. It's not referring to her moral purity, although that's obviously included. I found this fascinating. The word that's virtuous here is a Hebrew word that is translated oftentimes in the Old Testament, valor, V-A-L-O-R. Someone who is valiant, someone who is courageous, someone who's noble, someone who has strength, someone who has moral courage. And so that's why I've titled this as I have, Here's a Woman of Great Strength. And it's not talking to her muscles or the size of her physique. Here's an individual who is noble because of the strength of her character and the courage that she has. Excuse me here. Think of some examples here in the Old Testament. Think of Gideon. Think of Jephthah, judges of Israel. And when the angel of the Lord comes to them, what does he say? The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon looks at himself and says, me? A mighty man? I'm hiding from the Midianites. That's not my picture of being mighty. Courageous? With valor? That's not me. I'm a fearful person. I'm hiding from the Midianites. So there was something God saw in these men that these men did not see in themselves. And so when we have our own perspective, we rob ourselves of the benefit of being useful and usable in God's hand. So don't sell yourself short to say, I can never be that kind of woman because, and then you fill in the blank. Don't ever say, I can never be useful of God. I can never have this kind of character about me that would be highly praised and highly prized because, and then you fill in the blank. Don't think that way. In 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 28, the Bible says that there was a man in Solomon's day whose name was Jeroboam, and he's described as being a mighty man of valor. And Solomon, seeing the young man that he was industrious, made him ruler over all the charge of the house of Joseph. So notice that through the activity, the character is expressed. One commentator put it this way, the woman of this chapter, is referring to the young woman that Lemuel and his mom were hoping to find, would be a woman of great strength of character, courage, and energy, as well as one who is morally pure. And again, it's not talking about physical strength or a commanding presence. It's not talking about being strong-willed, self-reliant, independent, a stubborn personality, but rather it's referring to a strength of character that is solid and firm because it has been developed from a God-pleasing mindset and a God-honoring orientation in life. We talked about those two things this morning. That's what verse 30 is telling us about. When you have a God-pleasing mindset and a God-honoring orientation in life, you will develop this kind of character, a strength of character. So this is not a personality thing that we're talking about. This is something that every single individual in this room tonight, including myself, can be. We can have this kind of character. And so when you go to verses 11 to 29, you'll find that what is revealed there as to all the different things she does on a daily basis is what makes her so treasured, so valuable, and such a rare jewel indeed. I want to challenge your thinking with another perspective here. Not only is there a strength of character, but notice that even in her conduct, there is strength. Now, what do I mean by that? Let me illustrate. Any, and pardon my bluntness, any carnal fool can be selfish. Doesn't take any character to be selfish. It doesn't take any unusual ability to be selfish. That's the way we are. That's our nature. It does take a great deal of strength, however, to respond selflessly. Another illustration. When somebody gets into your face and they're letting you have it with both barrels of the shotgun, supposedly or proverbially speaking, and they are just as agitated and irritated with you as they can be, and they just blast you from here to kingdom come, accusing you of all kinds of things that are not true, it doesn't take any strength of character or conduct to respond in like manner. That doesn't take any strength. What takes strength is to receive that with a spirit of meekness. Meekness is not weakness. That's what our society tells us. Meekness, biblically defined, listen to this, is strength under control. You look at a horse, and it is a powerful animal. And when that saddle and that bit are put on that horse, that strength now can be harnessed in a productive manner. When you encounter situations that will agitate you and just rub you the wrong way, and they stir up your flesh. We say this about people sometimes. So-and-so just pulls the worst out of me. I don't know what it is. Every time I'm with them, I just always seem to blow up. I always seem to react negatively. I use this language or that attitude. They're always pulling the worst out of me. Well, can I use this illustration? If you were to get a tea bag and put it in a cup of hot water, what's coming out? It's the contents in that bag. If you want to change the tea, you don't change the water, you change the contents of the tea bag. And likewise, whenever we are in our hot water situations, the contents of our heart are going to be coming out. And if we don't like the taste of what's coming out, the solution is not a change in circumstances or a change in people. The solution is a change of heart. It takes strength to respond biblically instead of carnally. It takes real strength to be able to respond in a way that your flesh would love for you to respond, but you say, no, by the grace of God, here's what God would want me to say. Here's how God would want me to respond. And when you start having that God focus and that God-honoring orientation, now that becomes the source for your strength. It becomes the means whereby you can express now this strength of character. So I want to challenge you tonight. Are you strong spiritually? Are you strong because you've got a strong relationship with the Lord? Are you strong because by God's grace, though you're not perfect, you're developing by God's grace the character that is God-like? And that all flows out of your relationship with the Lord, the way you think, and the way that your mind is focused on Him and His truth. So as you read verses 11 to 29 and you see all the different things that she's doing here, you'll find here's a lady who is extremely selfless. She's not self-centered. That requires incredible strength, especially when you're not being appreciated, especially when you're taken advantage of, especially when there are no thank yous to all the sacrifices being made at home or during the daily grind of life. It's very easy to get out of sorts and to have bad attitudes. That doesn't take any strength to express. That's just our default nature. It does take a lot of strength, however, to replace the wrong thinking with right thinking and the wrong attitudes with right attitudes. This kind of woman has it. And it's not because, again, of her personality. Verse 30 is the secret as to why she has the strength that she does. And as you note this worthy woman's life, it's obvious that she evidences a strength of godlike character, a strength of heart, a selfless, self-sacrificing spirit, something that's totally different than what is commonly seen and commonly expressed. And verse 30, again, explains the reason why she has all these characteristics that are expressed in verses 10 to 29. She fears the Lord. She lives in the awareness of Him. She's enjoying a real sense of His presence as she walks with her God, serves Him in what otherwise might seem to be nothing more than just ordinary, routine responsibilities of life. So here's the challenge. Every single day, as you go throughout your day, whether it's doing laundry, kitchen, whether it's doing things around the house, cleaning, whether you're doing chores outside the house, wherever you are doing, adopt a new mindset. It's what Paul would say in Colossians chapter 3. You do what you do as unto the Lord and not unto men. And why should we serve the Lord that way? Because in verse 25, ye serve the Lord Christ. See everything that you do inside the home and outside the home as if Christ were right there and you were serving Him personally. Would that change the way you respond if you actually saw Him there? Would it change the quality of your work? Would it change how productive you are in your work? Would it change your character or your conduct at all? We're talking about a new way of thinking. We're talking about a new way of focus, a new way of orienting our heart. That's what verse 30 is challenging us with. And because of that new way of thinking and that new orientation of heart and that new focus, now Lemuel says, who can find this virtuous woman? This is rare. People don't live this way. It's not natural nor normal. But it is and can be a reality if verse 30 is true of you. So here's the truth then that she expresses with her life. It's the same truth we're to express in life. For the Christian, everything in life must be directed by this great aim, to please God, to honor God who has rescued us from sin's penalty. It's expressing grace, or gratitude rather, I should say, for God's grace. And when you have that kind of person, the end of verse 10 then also becomes true. When the first part of verse 10 is a reality, so then is the end of verse 10. If you are this kind of person who God says is virtuous, there is a strength of character. There is a valiance. There is a valor. There is a moral courage. There is a character that responds the way God would respond. That person's price is indeed far above rubies. In other words, whether it's referring to a man or to a lady, or whether it's even referring to a teenager, it's the same. No earthly treasure can be compared to that person's value. So tonight, whether you are a man or a woman, a mother or not, an adult or a teenager, could verse 10 be said of you? Are you developing the strength of godly character? Or are you known as being a selfish person, a carnal person, a self-willed person, a person who is independently spirited, self-willed, sassy perhaps, stubborn? These are not godly characteristics, and every single one of those things that I mentioned takes no strength of character to express. What does take strength of character is to express the opposite, a reliance upon God, a dependence upon Him for strength, to respond right, to be right in the challenges of life. Are you going to strengthen your character with God's resources so that you can make it more godlike? And then let me ask this question. What price are you willing to pay in order to be this kind of person? If it's not highly prized in your eyes, you won't pursue it. God highly prizes it, and that's why He presents this ideal to us, not to discourage us or dishearten us, but to instruct us and encourage us. Here's the way to go. Here's the way. Walk ye in it. So as you look at your life tonight, as I look at mine, what flaws or failures need to be addressed in your heart and life scripturally? Will you put God's word to work in your life? Proverbs 31:10 tells us, if this strength of godlike character is rare, it is indeed precious in proportion to its scarcity. The precious value of this divine wisdom of which this highly prized and highly praised woman is, she's the living illustration of, it exceeds by far the most precious of gems and the sum of all of them. In fact, there really is no earthly standard by which her value can be expressed. So tonight I close with this prayer that I have for myself and for you. May God help us to pursue this kind of godlike character, to be living illustrations of God's wisdom applied to the daily routines of life. Let's bow for a word of prayer.